Exodus chapter 20, if you turn there, a few thoughts for us tonight. Exodus chapter 20, of course, recognized as the chapter of the Ten Commandments, amen? And yet the message is not on the Ten Commandments, but we'll read. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." In verse 12 the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Let's pray. Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word. We thank thee for its constancy. We thank thee for its power to save. We thank thee for its power to lead and guide and direct our lives if we'll follow it. And Father, I pray that for a few moments tonight, we would see thy heart as we've never seen it before. God, as you bring to us from thy word the choice and beautiful things, help us, Father, not to be just hearers of thy word, but doers as well. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask. Amen. So I preface my statements before by saying this is not a message on the Ten Commandments. And strictly it's not, but I wanted to read them for reference. The Ten Commandments, as we call them, we could preach a message about how the first several are about loving God, and that's the primacy, that's the primal thing, amen? And the others are subservient to that, and they talk largely about how we're to deal with man. We could juxtapose those two different thought processes and understand that unless we can love God, we're not going to love man. Amen. As he says in the New Testament, we can try all we want. And you see the world try all they want. They even model the laws after the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill or murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet, and so on and so on. And these are the things that we should do in order to deal with man. And yet, once again, if we don't have the love of God in our hearts, as much of the world doesn't, we can never hope to fulfill the others, amen. And the law we see, and we see in the New Testament, it says it was given as a schoolmaster to point us toward Christ. But again, that's not what the message is about. Just a tidbit here. The message is about the Ten Commandments, but not strictly. Let me explain. It's about the antecedent. It's about what comes before that. It's about what precedes the Ten Commandments. Have you ever been at work and your boss says, "I have something important to tell you. Everybody gather in the conference room. Turn your cell phones off. I don't want you distracted by anything. This is very important." Or words to that effect. Or perhaps around your house, father has said, "Now we need to discuss something, family, and I want everybody gathered together. I want you to put everything away." Once again, probably turn your cell phones off. Amen. And so forth. "And I really want you to listen because this is very important." There's some kind of a preparation phase for that important announcement. Amen. Have you ever been to a family camp or a teen camp or any kind of camp where you get away from the trappings of this world and you're moved away from the school and the work and the cell phone? Once again, you see there's a pattern here. And the things that you would do on a daily basis. And sometimes it takes that for God to get a hold of your heart. Amen. And mine. Because we're not focused on the distractions and the noise around us. This is perhaps the ultimate time we can see where God did just that. And we're going to look at that in a moment. In chapter 19. But sometimes we need to have our attention. The title of the message is, Are You Listening? Husbands, have you ever been reading or watching television or doing something and your wife says, and she's talking to you, she's been talking to you for a minute or so, and you kind of see that she has, but you're not really listening. And all of a sudden she'll ask you a question. You're like, what? I'm sorry, dear, I wasn't listening. Say it again. Have you ever been there? I know I'm not the only one who's ever done that. Okay, thank you. And wives, the same. Amen. Children as well, with your parents. But sometimes we need to have our attention focused before we'll really listen. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 1, the Bible says, In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come unto the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And we're going to stop there. We're going to read the rest of the chapters in a little bit. But again, I want you to get the point. Are you listening? Are you listening? To get that attention, to get that focus. And God did just that. And we're going to see that here in a manifold way. How many have ever had a dog? Ever had a dog? And a lot of us have. And you're feeding the dog. And if you've trained it well, even when the dog is eating, you can take the food away, particularly if you're feeding it store-bought dog food. Amen. The wheat flour and cornmeal and soy protein and all those things. And yet, if you put a bone, a meat bone, in front of your animal that was designed by God to rip flesh, amen, of smaller animals and sometimes larger animals, and that's what their primal instinct is, it's a little bit harder to get that meat bone away from that dog, isn't it? It's just where they live. It's just who they are. It's what they are. It's the way God created them. I remember an incident where my mother had tried to do that. And my mother was somewhat diminutive with the dog, which is not the right way to do it. But at any rate, she tried to pull away the bone and the dog bit her hand. And we took her to the emergency room and it was a big mess. At any rate, the point is the dog was working on its primal instinct. We have primal instincts as well. We are sinners. Amen? All of us. If I were to tell you, how many are between 15 and 20 years old tonight? Raise your hand. Between 15 and 20. Okay, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. I love you to death, and if I didn't love you, I wouldn't pick on you. Amen? But I'm not going to pick on anybody individually. But if I were to ask you tonight, think about this. If I were to walk up to you tonight and say, can I use your Bible for a moment? Probably not one of you would even bat an eye, or an eyelash as the case may be, to give me your Bible. Amen? And yet if I said, can I borrow your cell phone, if you have one, for an illustration? Well, you're primal. You're instantly primal. Amen? You're in the flesh. What are you going to do with my cell phone? Think about it. Think about it. And I trust God you're not like that. But we have a tendency to be like that with who we are and what we do. Amen. A child, you take something away from a baby. How many have been in that nursery or have your own small children? It's immediate. There is no thought process involved. It's just instinct. Wah! Amen? Immediate. You took my, you know, and they can't verbalize it, but they go there immediately. And there's no stopping it. Amen? So how do you get the attention of that child? Well, I've seen moms take their face and just point their eyes straight. Look at me, and they'll talk to them. And after a short time, they'll have to focus on the face of the parent. We're all like that to a degree. Amen? God needs to get our attention sometimes. And again, the title of the message is, Are We Listening? But think of the children of Israel. Think of their situation. They had just come out of Egypt. They had just been in a land of great wealth. Amen. They had just been in a land where they could have anything they wanted to eat. Yes, their rigors were difficult and so forth, but they were taken care of to a degree. Amen. They had and had around them the things that even if they couldn't possess them, they were close to them. And you can imagine after generations, they were so beholden to the Egyptians and they were so inculcated in that atmosphere and in that culture that the thought of, you want us to go where? Out in the desert? Why would we do that? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to be away from the wealth? Why would we want to be away from the trappings? Why would we want to be away from fill in the blank? Amen? And so God had to put them in a place where they could properly listen to perhaps some of the most precious and important words ever spoken to mankind from God, the giving of the law and for all its purposes, to show man that he could not keep the law and that he needed a savior. God first reminds them in verse 4 of who he is, how he saved them, and the choices that they face. Look at verse 4. He says, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and notice these are all conditional, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So he has them in a place, he has them in a situation, he has them in a way that they can listen. Amen? But in order to get there, he had to take them out of Egypt. It probably wouldn't have been near as effective if it had been done in Egypt. And yet God did give promises that this time was to come, and we'll look at that in a moment. He also talked about it later, and we'll look at that in a moment as well. But I want you to understand, as we live our daily lives, there is that still, small voice. But sometimes we can't hear it. And it's not because God isn't speaking to us. It's because we're not listening. It's because of all the noise. It's because of all the things going on around us. And they could all be great things and good things and so forth. But that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be distracted. He's going to put so much in our way in the world that we can't even think about God. And we can't listen to God. But God has his way of getting us alone. Amen. And getting our attention as he did to them, with them. Excuse me. Look at Exodus 23. Exodus 23, a short time later. Exodus 23, just a couple chapters over. In verse 20, the Bible says, In Exodus 23:20, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shalt nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee." A glorious promise from God. But once again, in order for them to listen, he had to get them apart. He had to get them aside. He had to, if you will, circumvent or overcome the things that they were thinking about. Amen? And can you imagine out in the wilderness? Remember the stories how they got tired of the manna and they wanted something different to eat and so forth. And he ended up giving them quail so much that it said it came out of their nostrils. They were so sick of it. Amen. But they were so consumed with the flesh. And so are we. And it keeps us, unfortunately, from having a time where God can speak to us. They knew this already. Turn to Genesis 17. They knew of this time coming. They may have not known when. They may have not known exactly the manner of it. But God's promise was being fulfilled. I want us to see that here in Genesis 17 for reference. Genesis 17 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant thereof, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." Back to Exodus 19. On the order of getting your attention, I remember when my children were young, we had this big chair, kind of like one of those chair and a half like things, you know, not quite enough for two to sit in, but a little bit more than one would sit in. And when they were quite young, maybe 4, 6, and 8, about 30 years ago, when there was something that somebody had done and they wouldn't fess up to it, I would get their attention. The way I would get their attention, after querying them individually and they wouldn't fess up to it, they'd go in the chair. This was dual purpose. I liked the chair. It was a big, fat, wide chair, and you could kind of lounge around in it however you want. They didn't like the chair much after that, so they didn't sit in it. But they'd go in the chair, and they'd all sit in the chair, and they'd look at you with those little eyes. But I wasn't letting down. I needed to know who did whatever it was. And so they'd sit in the chair, and they'd know they would be in the chair for days, if they had to be. They would tell me who did wrong. I got their attention. And typically after a few times of that situation, before they got to the chair, they'd already pre-decide who was going to admit. And we found a few times that it wasn't necessarily the person who had perpetrated the crime. Amen. Because they didn't like the chair. They didn't like the examination. They didn't like the judgment of the Father. Amen. They just wanted to be clear of it. But the only way to get their attention was to take them away from everything. Strip them of everything. No food, no discussion, no anything. You will be in the chair until you tell me who did it. And they knew. They knew. Now, had I ever let down? Well, that wouldn't have been a good thing. Amen. Because then they'd know they could wear me down. I remember a particular child that somewhat rebellious at a point in their life. And I won't say him or her. But I'd say, go to your room, prepare to be spanked. And they'd go to their room and prepare to be spanked. And I'd go in and we'd start and they'd wail and kick and scream and holler. And you know, you're not submitting. Tell me when you're ready to submit. And occasionally that child would come out and with the teary eyes, "Okay, Daddy, I'm ready to submit." It was all I could do to go in there and do the right thing and chastise the child and love on him. But sometimes they would even fall asleep in the room, not come out and tell Dad they'd done wrong. And that was even rough, because then you have to wake them up and spank them. But I did. because God is consistent. Amen. He will get our attention, and he needed to get their attention. And so the question tonight might be, what is God trying to get your attention about or my attention about? We used to say in the Navy, he's giving you an opportunity to excel. You can do well here if you'll just do right. Amen. And he had to put the children of Israel in a place where they would listen to him and they would know that the consequence for failure was high. Amen. The consequence for failure was high. They had to do a risk-benefit analysis, they would say nowadays, and realize they had to come clean and they had to do right. Moving on to Exodus 19 and verse 9. Look at how poignant he was with them. His physical and spiritual presence would be among them to validate the importance of the content of the message to them. But he had to get their attention first. Verse 9 of Exodus 19, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto thy people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds around unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourself, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned. Or shot through," we're talking with an arrow, amen, "whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." You think he might have gotten your attention if God would say those words to you? Look, if you touch this thing you're messing around with, this thing you're playing with here, you touch it again, I'm going to thrust you through. You're gone. It's over. Time to come home, child, if you're saved. And if you're not, everlasting hell and damnation. But do you think if somebody approached you like that and you knew they had the power and the will to do that, you think you might listen? It's the position they had to be in to receive a message that important. And so the question tonight again is, what does God have to do to get our attention? That still small voice, is it getting louder? Are we touching things we ought not to? Do we run the risk of perhaps not being shot through, but being put on the shelf forever as a Christian? Do we run the risk of having our testimony sullied in such a way that we can't ever be useful for God again, or in a greatly diminished manner? He had to get their attention. And yet I want you to see verse 13. I want you to see how it changes from death to life. He says in verse 13, "There shall not an hand touch it," that is the mount, "but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live." But listen to this. "When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." He made a way. He made a way. But it was his way. I'm reminded of the verse in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death," but it doesn't stop there. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But you see, we're not going to go our way. They couldn't go their way up to the mount. Amen. They'd be dead. The only way they could appease God was his way. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, the Bible says, "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud." Now, what did we see before? "So that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Tremble. Have you ever trembled? We've seen a little child when they get mad, they kind of just tremble like that. But have you ever trembled out of fear? I don't mean a little goosebumpy, I'm watching a scary movie fear. I mean like walking down a dark alley at 2 o'clock in the morning downtown and you hear a shot fire out. That's the kind of fear I'm talking about. Where you're physically in fear for your life. You ever had that feeling? They were in fear. They trembled. They all trembled. The Bible says all the people. Now you can imagine there were hundreds, thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands. Can you imagine the strongest among them trembled? The strongest among them. I mean, even in a group this size, you can probably think about who you think is strong, think about who you think is maybe not so strong, and so forth. But we're talking about one orders of magnitude larger, and everyone trembled in fear of God. Moses would later remind the people of this event and its character, its gravity, and the uniqueness of it to etch in the people's memory the perpetuity of this event. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. We're going to look at this quickly. Deuteronomy 4. Remember, this is all in preparation for the delivery of the law, the Ten Commandments, to the people. Amen. But God had to have them ready. They had to be free of distraction. Deuteronomy 4, in verse 9, the Bible says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." This is talking about thinking back on times such as these. "And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you engrave an image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of any male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of any thing that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve God, and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided all the nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day." So looking back on another time, and he's reminding them later about times such as these. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. You see, we have the fortunate, like Peter was talking this morning, we're very fortunate, amen? In 2017, we can look back. We can see how the children of Israel, when they did right, when they did wrong, and we can learn from it, amen? If we'll read it, and if we'll take heed to it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." And it talks about times such as these. There are times when God must get our attention. Have you ever been walking with a child? Perhaps you're getting ready to go out and walk into a street and you're holding their hand and they see something and they dart out or something, you have to go grab after them. Amen. You have to get their attention. You might yell loudly, "Stop!" You might lunge after them. You might do both. Amen. Because it's protection. It's protection. And it might scare them a little. I remember such a time many years ago when I did so and the little girl cried. But it was for her protection. Amen. She had never seen me act so animated and passionate about something. And it scared her. But better to be scared than dead. Amen. God does the same thing with us. He must sometimes get our attention. Sometimes we have to put those things down in our life that we're doing and that we're listening to and that we're watching so that He can have our undivided attention. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I need your undivided attention. In other words, don't be thinking about this. Don't be looking at that. Listen to me. Don't think about anything else. Verse 14. Of Exodus 19. Exodus 19, 14. The Bible says, "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." We read that before. Let's go to verse 18. Bible says in Exodus 19, 18, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." You ever been in an earthquake? I have. I used to live in Southern California, and I was in the Bay Area in the big earthquake of 89 where that bridge fell and trapped dozens of people and so forth. I remember him vividly, and it's kind of a scary thing when the earth is actually moving back and forth, or even worse, when it's up and down underneath you. It can be a disconcerting thing. And it says the whole mount quaked greatly. I can imagine it's God like saying, "I need your undivided attention." And when He does that, He has it. Amen. "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long," verse 19, "and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." Remember what it said in 13? "When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up unto the mount. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds upon the about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them. And then, chapter 20. Where God spoke all these words, saying. But if you start at chapter 20, and that there's some great messages in there. Amen. But sometimes we miss messages because we're not ready. You know how harried Sunday mornings can be sometimes. Amen. And you feel like sometimes you walk in here with your hair on fire, and you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, you're thinking about anything but the message to come. Amen. You ever been there? You ever go home on a Sunday afternoon, and by Sunday night, maybe your wife or husband or somebody will say, "That was a great message this morning." And you'll think, "Yeah, it sure was." But you don't even remember the message. It's not God's fault. He spoke to you. Amen. He spoke to me. But sometimes it's our fault, because we're not ready to listen to God. But God is merciful. He will give us another chance. He will give us another, as they say, opportunity to excel. Amen. But He may have to get our attention in a different way. Like a loving father. God often gives us every opportunity to obey. He doesn't make it complex, although it's difficult. He gives us the low-hanging fruit. It's right here if we'll just read it. Amen? And obey it. They knew exactly what to do. They knew exactly what not to do. And when? Don't touch the mount or you'll die. It was pretty simple. Amen? If you were listening, what did Dad say? What did Mom say? What did the boss say? And then you might hear it from someone else, and it's not exactly what was said. Or maybe you were falling asleep in the meeting and not listening. And so your profit margin isn't where it should be because you didn't do what the boss said. Or at school, I didn't get the homework assignment. I wasn't listening. Amen? Or whatever the case may be. And those are trite things. But when God is speaking, we need to be listening. Look further in Exodus 20, after the Ten Commandments. Now that we've seen Exodus 19, let's look after the Ten Commandments were given and see the response because of, once again, the antecedent, what came before. It's amplified in the response. Verse 18 of chapter 20 of Exodus. The Bible says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." So we see the response by the people. We can look back on this event and we can see by proxy, sometimes God needs to get our attention and he tries to. And yet we don't always respond as we ought. In Matthew 13 and 9, the Bible says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." In 13:43, the Bible says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." In Mark 7 and verse 16, the Bible says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." In Revelation 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." In verse 17 of the same chapter, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it." Revelation 2 and 3 and even 13 are replete with examples of God saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Sometimes tonight, to have the most important things, to receive them, God's asking, are you listening? Am I listening? Is everything, do I have your attention? Put down the cell phone, put down the book, put down the television, put down the internet, put down the frivolous talk, put down the 3,000 texts in 2 weeks, whatever it is. Put it down. Go off onto a mountain. You know, we looked at the example before of how sometimes it takes getting to camp. Why? You ever wonder why? That's why. Because we're not we don't have those busy things in our life that we must pay attention to. God needs to get our attention. Does God have our attention in regards to salvation? Do we get the message of the Ten Commandments? How that we'll never be able to keep them, so it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? Or are we more interested in our agenda? Does God have our attention in regards to His will for our life? Or are we more distracted by Facebook drivel? Does God have our attention in regards to honoring Him in all we do? Or are we more interested in texting dozens of times a day regarding something that's frivolous? Or what somebody is wearing? Or what they had for breakfast? Does God have our attention in regards to raising our children to thrive, not just to survive? Or were we too busy pursuing our own desires? I guarantee you, I know it's true in my life, and it's probably true in yours as well. God's asking tonight, are you listening? There's something I've been trying to get your attention on, and you're not listening. Do we need to be shot through? He'll get our attention. Question is how? And then we'll tremble. But even the children of Israel, as we saw when they responded here in Exodus 20, we saw many other times later where they had recidivism. They went right back to what they were doing. They made the molten calf. They had the, I'll just call them wild parties that they ought not to have had. Amen. Don't need to go there tonight. But are we listening? Or are we just too distracted by the world? Food for thought tonight. Food for thought.